Got a lot of great lessons in the book. Again, it is Collective Visioning, How Groups Can Work Together for a Just and Sustainable Future by Linda Stout. I want to finish one more thing, Linda, and that is, you said you're, I think, 13th generation Quaker right there in North Carolina. Can you talk a little bit about how your faith plays out? You already mentioned, you know, you grew up with this listening as part of your spiritual experience. Of course, I know, because I'm Quaker also, about peace testimony and simplicity and all of these kind of things. Talk about your experience, because evidently, I grew up Catholic and became Quaker, so I kind of entered at the middle class level. But your Quaker meeting isn't all college graduates?
No. Where I grew up was actually a very poor area, and Quakers settled in North Carolina many, many generations ago, probably in the mid-1700s. So my meeting, actually most people were very working class and we had silent meeting. So I think for me, it was learning the history of resistance of Quakers, that a few people could come together and make a difference, that impacted me so strongly. I remember doing my first protest actually in the Quaker meeting. Us kids decided that we were not going to go along with some of the old-fashioned ways that the Quaker meeting had decided, and that we wanted our first day school teacher to be the same person. And we stood in the silent meeting because we would always stay for part of it and then leave to go to first day school, which is similar to Sunday school in other churches. And we stood for like two or three Sundays in a row before the elders was like, okay, we have to listen to these younger folks and what they want. So I think having that history and the combination of growing up in poverty was a really different experience for me than most poor people have, and then most, like when I come to the Northeast, I have to admit that most of the Quaker meetings are very middle class or college educated, I would say. You know, I think as Quakers, we need to look at that, what happened along the way, because we also have to be very inclusive. And I was lucky and fortunate to grow up in a meeting that had all kinds of people in it. And the generational piece, I think, of stories passed down of, I know that my family, pre-16 generations ago, were dissenters in England and went to Holland, and that's where they first met George Fox and became Quakers. I honor the fact and the privilege that I have of knowing my own history, because Quakers do pass down their history, and luckily weren't one of the groups who had their history destroyed or taken away from them or stolen from them, as, for instance, African Americans, many have had as slaves. They were brought over. They lost a lot of their history. And as Jewish folks, because of the Holocaust and many other immigrant groups, I'm very fortunate, but I do know that that was part of, it was through my faith in listening to my own heart and listening to that's bigger than me. I never referred to that as God, but to the spirit that's all-inclusive and a part of all of us and part of everybody. And it was through that listening that gave me the courage to start to speak out, start to ask questions, start to stand up for what I believed in, and that led me eventually to organizing. But I know that anyone can do this work, even if they're not being an organizer. You don't have to be an organizer to be a part of a movement that can change the world. Certainly, all the kids involved in the work that I've done have proven that.